There's a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live again at the Elder Dragon Roller podcast. It has been a while, but life has happened. This is your host Igor, and as always with me, co-host Niksha. Say hi, Niksha.
Hi, Niksha.
So, Niksha, we have been away for a while again.
Yeah. Well, you know, like holidays happened. I mean, Holidays. The day offs. Not day offs. Vacation.
Just give me a second. Evo, back Nikša, sorry što me nije bilo, tražimo se novi stan, pa sam pričao sa mogućim stanodavcem. Ovo će se izdiritirat van, gdje smo mi stali uopće?
Aha, ja.
Evo ti, za reci kada ćeš nastaviti, ono, uzmi si malo vremena i...
Sad. So, I've been inside for like a week or two, and there's like no internet there. So no way that I can record.
Yeah, I had a similar thing because I was also at the seaside for 10 days. I was going to actually set up talking with you, but I have tested how the internet is. Then I was testing it in Warframe, and ping was averagely when it was good, 150 to 200, and it was bad 1500. So that was no podcasting conditions.
Yeah, plus we weren't on the sea at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, that would have worked because when you went to the sea, when you came back from the sea, we were just going. So that would have worked. However.
Yeah.
But how was sea? How was life?
You know, it was basically just a change of scenery for a few days. I was almost kind of bored, but I did bring a notebook and I started writing down which commander I will use in which color combination in Magic.
Are you doing the whole 32 challenge or...?
The 32 challenge?
Basically having one deck in each color combination.
Well, I'm just doing it like for myself, not for a challenge. But sure, it's part of the challenge.
People are doing it online. So. There's people who actually do it in hard mode and they make every deck singleton and you can't actually repeat any card besides basic land.
Oh.
Now that's actually Dark Souls.
Wow. I mean... Yeah. I would do that once I start building the decks, since I don't really have multiple copies of some cards. Like, I'm going to have like 10 green decks, and only 3 of them will have Cultivate, because just don't have enough Cultivate. But are the unstable commanders legal?
No, unless your playgroup makes it legal.
I mean, for Black and Red, I would use Grusilda, the Monster Masher, but that would be the only unstable card in...
I don't think anybody would mind if you play with us. I don't know about LGS people.
But this will take some time. But I did find out the perfect rat command.
Yeah?
It's Damia.
Of course it's Damia. Because you get to draw more of your rats, right?
Yup. And the thing is, I was thinking about either Damia or Mimeoplasm, because Mimeoplasm is almost a rat. I mean, he's everything, so...
He's anything you want. Yeah.
But, you know, when you don't have a hand, Damia is there.
Anything else that's weird that you thought of?
Well, I'm trying to think of a deck that would abuse Runetail for mono-white.
Just put equipment on Runetail and kill people?
Well, Runetail becomes an enchantment, so...
Oh yeah, I thought of 8.5 tails, sorry.
Yeah, Runetail is the one that becomes an enchantment that says, prevent all damage that will be dealt to creatures you control.
Huh. If we had access to red, that would be nice, but we do not, so... Huh.
Oh yeah, but my mono red is the best commander. My mono red will be Urdra.
For fuck's sake, you're back at it again.
You have no...
I sadly have all of the idea. I've known you long enough.
I almost made the Yennet Cryptic Sovereign deck,
mm-hmm.
but the damn deck is like, what, 3 weeks to, like, I'm waiting 3 weeks for the delivery like, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. But yeah, I tested it out a bit. Kind of fun.
So what does the deck do?
Well, I adjust my collection for odd cards and that's it.
The simplest way to do it.
Yeah, the only even card is Swiftfoot. And I'm thinking about cutting it because it's off flavor.
I mean, if you can put two copies of Swiftfoot Boots, so, you know, one for each leg, that would be nice.
Yeah, but still, it's...
Either that or you get Lightning Grooves as well.
No, they're all even. That's no good.
No, but you have to have Lightning Grooves and the Swiftfoot Boots at the same time, so you have to equip it... Because, you know, 4 feet, 4 boots.
Yeah, maybe. I'll see into it. but yeah, nothing really too wild. And also, if I were to go through all these decks, then it would take some time. Plus, I'm waiting for Ravnica to 2-color commanders, because we're gonna get like between 8 and 10. It's possible that Vraska and Ralzarek will be the guild masters and not Plains, and they will be Plains.
What happened to Nemezid?
Nothing yet.
But why wouldn't he be the guild master then?
Oh, I don't know. Why wouldn't Jared be the guild master?
Jared is less popular than Nemezid.
Yeah, but Jared was still popular and he was killed off screen.
I mean, honestly, compare him to Nemezid, it's not the same magnitude.
I know, but if people actually read the stories, you know, then they would see that Jared is a pretty cool guy.
Oh, he's the best guy.
I mean, after Agrus Kos.
Agrus Kos is not a person, he's a man and a myth.
He is a living legend.
Unliving legend?
Not a live legend? An existing legend.
He's definitely an existing legend, yes. I hope we get him soon.
Yeah, a new version of him.
We are not. We both know it, but, you know.
I mean, if only R&D read their... Not R&D, but Creative read their own stories their predecessors wrote, then maybe we would even get Feather.
Or maybe they shouldn't read some stories. That they, like, you know, Quest for Karn and stuff like that.
I'm sure nobody read.
That's why it actually came up as bad, because nobody proofread it. They were like, I'll write a book. Yeah. But anywho, you done with your recap why you were gone?
Yeah.
In the span of the last month, I have lost a job, got a job, quit that job, and finally got this third job. Now, that's also one of the things that has been, you know, taking my time a bit. The new job I found is gonna be busy and hard, but it's 10 minutes of walking distance from my house, and I only work like 8 hours and that's it.
Well, that's deep.
The best thing, 2 days off each week.
Yeah, that's really.
Of course, not one after the other, but, you know, still nice.
Yeah, better than 1 week off, 1 day off.
Yeah, but also in that month, I've had things like depression attacks, panic attacks, anxiety, and things like that. So I was also handling that. That's why I was a bit offish in the last episode, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't in my, you know, usual self. Well, but I think I managed to get over it a bit.
Well... The only thing that matters is that you got over it, I hope.
I mean, I'm struggling through it. I've been struggling since, like, fourth grade elementary with it. But it's okay to sometimes, you know, stumble.
Well, you have to fall in order to learn to pick yourself up.
Definitely. But now let's carry on from
that
these...
That was Rocky. No, Rocky said...
He said Rodney. Because it's Rocky. But let's move to our actual commanders of the week. Do you have some, Niksha?
Well... I've been playing some commander, but nothing really of significance. So, I'll be talking about my modern experience, which was actually hilarious.
Oh god.
But, Igor, please tell me, do you have a commander of-
Last week we actually managed to get together, the playgroup, and I after a while. We played a couple of games. I played, I think, most Alesha, because I haven't played her in a while. And even though I managed to stranglehold some people, I didn't manage to win the game because people didn't hit Marco, aka the blue player, enough in the face. But we had a fun situation where I would deploy a couple of threats, he would bounce everything back to the hands, and we did that ad nauseum. I was sword. And he managed to, in the end, combo off. But that was my games. I'm still loving Alesha. I don't think I'll take anything from the Commander 18 for her, because I didn't see anything actually that impressive. The whole set is a bit... It has really cool cards, but nothing I'm super stoked about.
It brings some new things to the table, but yeah, nothing really.
They toned it down this year.
It's because the rules committee was in on the design phase.
That explains everything.
That explains quite a lot, yeah. Why maybe don't they, that's why they raised the MSRP, because they had to pay some other people. Wow.
I don't think they asked for so much money.
I mean, the MSRP, the $5 extra is actually a lot.
It is. And that's the, just the MSRP. Who knows how much your LGS is going to charge?
Yeah. And
how much is our charging?
Well, they're charging the MSRP plus our taxes, so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
But not anything higher than...
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, I just hope that Wizards won't, for the 100th time, learn the wrong lesson from these decks.
What lesson?
That is, oh no, the decks didn't do so well. Let's discontinue.
I don't think they will. Decks. This is a cash cow still.
Let's just hope that they'll learn that people, I mean, Commander players do like their fancy new cards, but they also, but they're Commander players that are, you know, that play regular Magic, so reprints are really cool.
Mm-hmm. You know what's one thing I'm a bit iffy with the Commander decks? People are seeing this as the way that people come into Commander, which is partly true, but big crowd of people that actually buy these decks are already existing players, in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, almost every year I bought a deck.
Yeah.
Because so they're just... Sweet. I mean, I bought the whole package of 4-color commanders because all those decks were just insane.
Mm-hmm. They weren't stupidly strong, but they were more powerful than this.
Not just that, but the reprints were on point.
Yes. And I was gonna mention that. Give us a bit better reprints. It's not gonna, you know, make or break. Don't print a True Name Nemesis, of course, but give us something a bit better.
I mean, Enchantress's Presence was a big reprint, and it crashed the price.
And that's not a bad thing.
That's not a bad
thing. Just print things that, you know, are really hot in, let's say, Legacy or something like that, but nothing too expensive.
Like, they have this Jund deck that would be really cool with that 1-mana Planeswalker.
Yeah, you know what would be actually really cool for the next year? If they made a deck that's really low on the CMC and print something like Alurin in it.
Yeah.
That's something that they haven't done. Just really cheap mana cost.
Maybe something like stupidly expensive and they put in like a Sneak Attack in it.
I think, yeah, Sneak Attack has dropped its price since the last printing, right? In the Masters.
Yeah, because it wasn't in the Masters. Sneak Attack was in Conspiracy too.
Oh yeah, Conspiracy. So yeah, print things like that.
But okay, enough of the reprints. We've talked a bit about this, but we will look past these slight problems with the decks and talk about what is actually usable and how is it usable. But first, a little redemption story arc. So, I've tweaked my Mono Green Tron for Modern just a bit. I added one specific card that I really wanted to try out for the longest time, and I had a chance to actually try it out. So, the card in question is Tree of Redemption.
Good God.
Tree of Redemption, just I thought it would fit nicely, because it's a defender, so it fuels Overgrown Battlement. It's a 0/13, so it blocks anything. Like, it even blocks Death Shadow. Like, a maximum Death Shadow. Okay, not a maximum Death Shadow, because a maximum Death Shadow is 13/13. But still.
It still blocks it. It still blocks it.
I mean, yeah, it still blocks it, but it doesn't survive that block. But 99% of Death Shadows, it's going to block and survive. So, I just put in one copy of Tree of Redemption. Plus, I'm planning to, at some point, try and make Arcades Modern. So... I'm just testing it for that deck too. So, 4 rounds, and 2 rounds were won almost solely by Tree of Redemption. What happened is, the first round I played against Blue-Red Wizards. And my turn 2 was just Lightning. My turn 3 was third land, play Overgrown Battlement, equip it. Play Overgrown Battlement, equip it. Play Overgrown Battlement. So yeah, my turn three were three Overgrown Battlements, followed by a Tree of Redemption turn 4, and another Overgrown Battlement. I dropped to 5 life, then I switched back to 13, then I dropped to 4 life, then I switched again, and then I managed to actually draw a Ballista play it for 12 without Tron, of course, because I had, you know, 5 defense, and just 1 because of, you know, lightning grip, attack, remove counters, kill you. And the game before that was similar to that. Again, you know, Tree of Redemption, saving. Round 2 was against Storm. And this is a thing I figured out when I was playing against it, but Tree of Redemption, if they don't have Remand, a second Grape Shot, or Unsubstantiate, then they need to add plus 12 to their Storm counter to pass through the tree. Because every Storm trigger is a separate one. So you go down by one, down by one, down by one, down by one. When you drop to 1 life, you just go back to 13 life.
That sounds janky, but it works.
So Tree of Redemption saved me against Storm twice. And then the next 2 games, I didn't play Tree of Redemption, actually. But I still won. It was against Soul Sisters. And yeah, I managed to make the Soul Sisters concede at 96 life, because I pretty much took control of the game. And after that, I played against Mardu Pyromancer, and he was like, here, have a Blood Moon. And I was like, sure, here, have a turn 4 Worldbreaker, because, you know, walls. And then I exiled the land and not Blood Moon, because Blood Moon didn't do anything.
Yeah, you're not the one who has important dual lands with colors and stuff.
Yep. So yeah, playing expensive stuff through Blood Moon is really fun.
I bet it is.
So yeah, I 4-0'd that with Tree of Redemption. So there you go. Apparently it's a good card.
It's a card that works sometimes.
Yeah, that's why you play only one of them. Because if you draw 2 of them, then it's probably not good in multiple.
You're the man who manages to take the jankiest cards and make them work. What the hell?
Oh, I mean, that's nothing. My days of janking are just arriving, because our LGS finally got the purple mat protectors. So now I can fit all my modern decks in, so I don't have to switch cards out all the time. I really don't feel like. And next up is Panharmonitron.
Oh, good God.
So we'll see how that turns out. Which colors? I think it'll be green and either white or blue.
Next, why don't you just take a dartboard and just start drawing random? See what happens.
I mean, that's almost what I did.
Yep.
So, that were my adventures in Modern. So, I'm going to say the Tree of Redemption is...
Holy crap, it's a good card.
but let's see. So, Commander 18.
Yeah, let's go over it again, partly.
Partly. Or around the, you know, actually good.
Did you manage to actually play against any of these cards?
No.
Still not?
No.
I mean, I haven't because of obvious reasons.
I haven't because, I don't know, nobody's playing them?
I haven't been in the shop in like a month, so...
I mean, I was watching people play the precons at a tournament, and the Bunt one took... all
took
the
it all?
Pods.
You know what? When is the last time I was at the shop? At your birthday. Around that time.
Wow.
That was
more than a
month. Yep. Sheesh, almost 2, I think.
So, I'll begin with Aminatu. Mm-hmm. And I find Aminatu the best of these planeswalkers as a commander.
Yeah? Yep. You finish, I'm sorry.
So, it has the... I see her as the best synergy, with the most synergy and most infinite combo potential.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, her plus 1 is draw a card and put a card from your hand on top of your library. So it's plus 1 do basically nothing, but it's still kind of a setup play for, you know, comboing off or something.
Comboing, miracles, you can even play mini brainstorm.
But her minus 1 is really strong.
That's where the combos come from, yes.
And she's also pretty cheap. Just 3 mana and for 3 loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I can see her as a popular option.
I'm glad how we didn't mention the minus 6.
Who cares?
That's the thing. But yeah, plus one, it's actually kind of strong if you have enough shuffle effects.
I see her as a more competitive commander.
I mean, she's a commander that combos with the Felder Guardian quite easily, so...
Mm-hmm.
So, any of the other commanders got your eye? The Planeswalker ones?
No, not really.
Long Wing Grace is kind of cute, but that's it. Estrid, I don't know what to make of her.
Estrid has an infinite combo, but, I mean, okay.
How much of a setup? How much of a setup?
A lot of setup. You have to enchant your lands, you have to have the Chain Veil. So, yeah, it's quite a bit of setup.
If I'm gonna be using Chain Veil, might as well play Teferi, honestly.
Oh yeah, and also, Totem Armor doesn't work when it's enchanted to a land.
Huh.
Totem Armor doesn't work on non-creature permanent.
Today I learned.
Because Totem Armor says that if this creature would be destroyed.
Yeah, and it's not a creature.
Nope.
Whom else do we have? Yeah, Saheeli. Saheeli actually seems kind of strong.
She does seem kind of strong, but I think that... I really don't know. It takes a lot of setup to maybe like just fizzle out. I would rather play some other commanders for...
Next, I would just focus on plus one, the second one. That's
I know, that's what I'm talking about. If you play a lot of like mana rocks to pump out your really expensive spells for... Basically, then you run the risk of, you know, playing too many mana rock.
What's the problem with that?
Well, what do you actually play with?
I mean, you play a bunch of mana rocks, you can play something like March of the Machines, Tezzeret the Seeker, and things like that. You can in the end just club people with your fucking artifact.
I mean, I would play it as a Eldrazi commander.
Also that, yeah.
But I'd rather play something more, a bit more fun for that.
Like what?
Like Rakdos, Lord of Rites.
Definitely, yeah. The thing with Rakdos is people know what you're going to do immediately once you sleep him out.
Yeah, while Saheeli not so much.
Not so much, and you can actually protect your threats with counterspells.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's a bit easier to defend the Planeswalker than a creature.
Oh yeah, and when you actually don't have anything to play, you can just make more things to protect her with.
Yeah, and she has one added benefit of actually, you know... All those mana rocks you're playing, even if they kill her, you can replay her much more easily.
Yeah.
So she has some, actually, fringe benefits.
Mm-hmm.
She's not gonna be, you know, the top commander, but I actually don't mind her. She seems kinda sneaky.
Quite sneaky.
Anybody else? Yeah, there's just four of them. I thought just there was four. Supposed to be five. Yeah. Xancha is Xancha. Not the best thing ever, but it's Xancha, so I have to like.
Well, I was listening to MTG Goldfish, and they proposed a very interesting idea.
Yeah.
And that's a reverse Voltron. So, you play a lot of enchant creature cards, you play a lot of auras, then you play Xancha and attach all these auras to her. And then she starts killing people that are not you.
Remember that shitty aura from Zendikar, whenever a creature attacks, its control loses two life or something like that?
No, but do you remember that exact aura from the original Ravnica?
Yes, also that, also that. The art where the guy is throwing two bolts, right?
Two imps poking somebody.
Oh, yes. We're thinking of the same thing, good.
So, yeah, like that kind of Voltron.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
It sounds janky, but it might actually be really...
It's janky, but I think it will actually work. At least for once.
Yeah, once.
Sadly, red and black don't have anything that makes it, the creature indestructible. Aura-wise.
Yeah.
Imagine Gift of Immortality on Xancha.
Yep. Or just, you know, indestructibility.
You can make, basically, Mardu group slug with that.
Yep.
And use Queen Marchesa as the general, put this in... And things like that.
Pretty much.
I was going to mention actually Brudiclad, the engineer.
Mm-hmm.
What I forgot to read when we were covering the C18, this isn't until the end of turn, the tokens becoming the copies.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make a lot of stupid things like Ikijiki.
Yeah, and another cool thing is that you can just make a couple of cool artifact tokens, and then the next turn... Copy, you know, make a burst of like a million tokens, then copy them.
Yeah.
because these will remain copies.
This guy is actually piquing my interest.
I mean, I see it as when you trigger him, you should be winning at that point.
Am I silly because I want to play Merit Legend this deck and somehow go around the Legend rule?
Wow. Mirror Gallery?
Something like that. Yeah, I want to jank it up with it.
Wow.
Actually, I say I want to jank it up, then I would end up actually making it as tight as possible.
Well, you just need a Blood Sun, and that could actually work. I mean, Merit Lage is a black creature, but nothing says... there's no black symbols on the land.
Yeah.
Haha.
But yeah, what's also some good tokens we can make with this?
Well, obviously, Scuttling Doom Engine tokens.
Yeah.
Blightsteel Colossus tokens.
If you have Blightsteel out, you're most likely winning already.
You can never win enough.
We can make Sun Titan and Inferno Titan, just for the value. Actually, Mimic Vat goes really good with this deck,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Mimic Vat works very well. Soul Foundry could work very well.
We should maybe make a deck tech around this guy.
Prototype Portal.
Okay, we're definitely making a deck tech for this guy next week. Because there is so much thing you can actually do with this guy. Are there any creatures in black, in red and blue that whenever they attack, they do something really stupid?
Well, there's a Mere Battlesphere.
Because of the, you know, the haste part.
Oh yeah, Mere Battlesphere does dumb stuff. But you actually need a lot of Mere tokens. You can't just turn all your Mere tokens into Mere Battlespheres and do silly things because it doesn't work anymore.
That's where Kiki Jiki should come in.
Oh, there you go.
Sheesh, that could actually kill people.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what we're making next week. Because this guy allows us to be really creative with the deck.
I mean, there's also this Ancient Stone Idol that makes a 6/12 artifact creature token. So there's that.
Also, there is things that like Splinter Twin and things like that make a copy until the end of turn, and that's it. What is the name of that Tora from? I think it's Shadowmoor Mirrodin. Creature has tap, and I don't know. That makes tokens, right?
Oh wait! Helm of the Host. It copies the legendary creature, and the copy isn't legendary, right?
Oh, Kiki Jiki.
Oh, okay. So Helm of the Host.
No. Actually, no, we can do that with Merit Lodge.
Yeah.
And the tokens have haste, and the original has haste. Mm. Nice. So he Broodyclad has a lot of potential.
I mean, he's still 6 mana, but when you have this much potential, it only takes one game to gain that pleasure of janking it out.
Also, he's an artifact, and we can make artifacts become real cheap real fast.
That is.
Tavnos, we already talked about how combo happy he is, so I don't think we need to talk about him that much because he's super easy to break.
Gyrus, on the other hand.
You had some thoughts about him, right?
I was thinking about playing him similar to Alesha, but, you know, Jund is a really good color combination for, brain fart, for dredging.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about something along the lines of dredging things, playing expensive cards that have low power, low toughness. I mean, just low power. Like, Bane of Progress. That's a really good one because it's a 2/2. So it's by default, smaller than Gyrus.
Yeah.
So I think that I'll try something with dredge. Just, you know, fill my graveyard. And then I have all these options with Gyrus. The only problem is that the tokens exile themselves at the end of combat, so I need quite a bit of sack outlets to make even more things work.
Or copy them with Kiki Jiki and things like that.
Or that.
I'm still pissed that he exiles just things from your graveyard.
Well, I really dislike the part where he exiles the creature from your graveyard and just makes a token.
Yeah, that disappears.
I mean, if it were just return a creature from your graveyard tapped and attacking, sacrifice it, or exile it at the end of combat, that would work very well.
Either that or just make it, you know, take a creature from any graveyard, but you keep the token. Or actually, even if you don't keep the token from any graveyard, exile the token at the end of combat, but any graveyard.
Yeah, he might even, like, compete with Prosh for the Jund commander. He might. Like I said.
He would be an option.
If he were better, he just might.
Not really, but he would be a kind of contender.
Well, a lot better contender than Tantis, the whatever weaver.
Oh yeah, the spider. I completely forgotten about the spider.
maybe because it doesn't do anything.
I mean, it does stuff, but why?
How does
the spider make me go attack?
It looks offensive, I guess.
I mean, if I see a giant spider like this, I'm not gonna go attack him. I'm just gonna go running.
Yeah. And it doesn't tangle anything in its web of war.
I mean, if they attack you, he somehow gets bigger, and that does something.
But it also makes your things attack?
Imagine if he actually said he can block in a number of creatures, and then the button text.
Yeah, that would actually work.
That would be really great.
Yeah, that would actually make it viable.
No, that would be really sweet. If he becomes like 15-15, and then what you do?
Well, you try to find a really big slipper.
Either that or just get that touch on you or some stupid token. But yeah, that would be a really fun commander. Not, you know, prosh levels, but it would be fun. We just play basically Jund Pillow Fort.
Or Jund Death Toucher.
I know. Play Jund Pillow Fort and then you win with flinging this guy.
Oh, or thudding.
There you go!
Well, that's still an option. You can still do something like that. Also, in combination with War Child, that makes survivors for your opponent who have to attack then.
Mm-hmm.
That could actually work.
You know what's the best use for Tantis? Put him in a Crash deck.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This guy works really well with Crash. This guy gets bigger, and then if he dies, sweet, Crash is huge.
I mean, Gyrus also.
Yeah. Don't you exile the tokens?
If you sacrifice them,
That's a different.
Also, you can sacrifice Gyrus.
I would still much rather play Crash than Gyrus, honestly.
But enough of these Jund commanders. I'm thinking about Prosh, and I don't want to think about Prosh.
I'm used to it already. I've become really jaded when it comes to Prosh.
The Bunt ones, I really don't feel like talking about because they're aura-centric. I mean, yeah, okay, the Sunlit isn't, but it draws cards.
If you really wanted to have a Mesa Enchantress or Argo Enchantress as your commander, there you go.
I mean, I just don't find any joy in playing. Unless you're playing Uriel the Mistalker, then they're fun.
For somebody.
for one, at least one person, they're fun.
For exactly one.
You never know.
On the other hand, the Simic commander is fun. He's not good, but he's fun.
Yeah, a land that can be countered. Pretty good.
We have your best girl, Yuriko, who's not your actually best girl.
No. With some super weird weapons. And, yeah, since I didn't get the deck yet, I didn't get any, hands-on experience to see if she's actually better than Sig. So I'm just going to go on a wild guess and say that she isn't. Why? Well, because my ninja deck is slowly turning into more of a rogue tribal deck with some ninjas in it. Because,
I mean,
you know, it's really hard to make a ninja tribal deck with eight ninjas in Magic. I mean, there are more ninjas, but I'm talking about the playable one.
Yep.
Actually, four of them are playable, but okay. So, yeah, it's only natural that, since that's my go-to one-on-one commander, that I was thinking about upgrading it more. So it's still in flavor. I'm still trying to keep as close as I can to flavor. It's just, it's not that heavily ninja flavored because it's just not possible anymore.
It's quite limited.
I mean, it would be fantastic if we could just go back to Kamigawa, because Kamigawa had ninjutsu, and ninjutsu is a really cool mechanic for modern and for anything, really.
People love it.
Because it's so unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
So, why is Sig better than Yuri? I think that Sig is better because you want the card draw.
I was gonna say, three magic words.
They're both card draws, mind you, but I think that dealing 3 damage is a lot easier than, you know, doing some janky things to make Yuriko unblockable. Because Yuriko will attack with ninjutsu, pass, once, and then Yuriko is quite blockable.
Also, you don't have to actually do the damage to draw the cards.
Yeah, if they have like Sylvan Library or something, they'll do it themselves.
That's the thing. You don't have to do much work to actually get the profit.
Also, Sig is... I mean, okay, Yuriko has this big advantage that she's always 2 mana with
that
the Commander
the thing,
Ninjutsu.
Yeah. Yep.
Also, what's the deal with Commander Ninjutsu? Come on.
If you want to have a Ninja Commander, that's actually the way to go.
I know, but they... I'm just saying that they could have just put in Ninjutsu and added a note on another rule, like you can use Ninjutsu from your command zone. Something like that.
I mean, I don't mind this.
Instead, we have this Commander Ninjutsu. It's like, it kind of takes away from the magic of Commander, but sure.
Honestly, I'm liking that they made this, but if they're gonna expand on it.
Yeah, that would be. But they probably won't.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did in the future. Because it's a popular concept now that they actually thought of the way to work with it. They just might put randomly some ninjas in random side sets.
Sure, I guess. Also, another thing about Yuriko. Everyone loses life equal to that card's converted mana cost. It seems cool. Until the point when you realize that you have to have your deck really low cost so you can actually use the Commander Ninjutsu, so you need to have a cheap, unblockable thing. So when she actually hits someone, there's a high probability that you'll deal like 1 to 2 damage with.
Honestly, if you deal like 2-3 damage per turn extra, that's not bad.
Yeah, per turn, but you're not actually going because you're not going to have that much.
Unless you do the things like that adaptation from Ixalan and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, arcane adaptation or conspiracy.
Which you should, honestly.
I mean, I'll still give Yuriko a chance, but I'm just not feeling it.
I think the main problem is if you want gonna give her a chance, you need to redo the deck a bit to include things like actual arcane adaptation.
No way. I'm not gonna include arcane adaptation.
That is the thing. Because the type of deck you're playing with Sig currently is not compatible with Yuriko.
I mean, it is. It has almost all the ninjas in Magic.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Fine. I'll... the cards, okay.
I'm not saying you need to do it, but if you want to maximize on her, that's the way to go.
But I must say that Yuriko is an amazing ninja by herself.
Yeah, if you're going to play a ninja deck and not have her as a commander, she's a really good in 99.
Even outside a ninja deck, she's a good enough.
Yeah.
Especially if you're playing, like, a high-cost deck, and you have just a few ways to make your things unblockable, it's still really good.
What's next, if you want to?
I just want to mention that Ancient Stone Idol is actually a statue of Kozi.
Yeah. How so they perceived it.
That's cool. I mean, not... Yeah, Kozi, the merful god, and not actual Kozi, like.
I mean, they are kind of the same thing, but the people of Zendikar forgot that. Are these all the legendaries you want to talk about?
There's all that War Child thing, but let's not.
Yeah.
Forge of Heroes, what are your thoughts about that land?
The question is, what do we use it with the most?
Well, it's good with Planeswalker commanders, obviously, because a free loyalty is...
Yeah.
It could be, like, really... really big.
Atraxa, I guess?
Atraxa, yeah.
Project Cry?
Oh, you can actually put it on a commander or planeswalker that isn't yours.
Yeah.
Huh, that's interesting.
No. You have to choose the target commander that entered the battlefield this turn.
I know, but you can use it on other people's commanders.
So you can steal the abilities.
The thing is, you can't... You can't target your Shroud Commander.
That's a thing.
So at that point, the other thing, what's it called, that palace?
Which palace?
The one that lets you transform a mana, and if you use it to play your commander, it gets a +1/+1 counter is equal to the
Opal
number.
Opal Palace,
yeah. Well, Opal Palace is actually better.
It is.
For... You know, commanders that enter a lot, but this is better for your planeswalkers.
I was gonna say, this is better if you have planeswalker commanders, but they're kinda limited. Wouldn't play it in something like Teferi, something like Dereti maybe, but you're playing mono red, so all the utility you can get is actually really nice. Mono white we don't want to talk about.
We have those battle bond commanders.
Oh yeah, I have forgotten that they're actually a thing.
Yeah, because battle bond isn't really that... heavily played.
I still need to get Vitrus and Grom.
Yeah.
Like couple of copies.
I mean, I already got my foil worm, so there's like nothing
not
else
care.
For me.
Yeah. And the rest of the set, I think, is not that memorable.
Actually, these Commander Storm cards are a bit better than I thought.
Really?
Yeah, because think about it. When you play Storm cards, you need to like work really hard to get extra value out of them. For these cards, you don't really have to work that much. And if you copy them like twice, so if you played your commander each time you cast your, so when you cast your commander twice, so for one cast of your commander you already play two copies, I mean the original and a copy. If you cast your commander two times, that's three spells you get with a single one.
A question is, which effect do you play that's actually good?
So for six mana, when you get 3/4 angels, that's good.
That's alright.
That's alright. I mean, Echo Storm is very specific.
Genesis Storm is alright. Fury Storm...
Oh, Genesis Storm is really good. Genesis Storm is...
The thing is, which commander do you play it with? And one answer is Prosh, because obviously. But what other commander are you going to be casting that many times to make this actually worth it?
Caridor.
Yeah, how many times do you have to cast Caridor to make this actually good?
Well, not really that much times. It's just a replacement for, not Genesis Wave, but Primal Surge. When people get tired of you and your Primal Surge, you can just replace it with Genesis Storm. And then people really can't, they can't complain anymore.
Yeah, but this doesn't finish the game at all.
It doesn't, but it's a fun card. Also Animar, because Animar, you're playing a lot of mana dorks. So you can actually cast Animar a couple of.
And that is the thing. The only viable for me is Prosh, because he can actually end the game with the Genesis Storm. Same thing goes for the Skull Storm in Prosh. Because you can actually viably A, get to 9 mana on the side without a food chain, and food chain him a bunch. You're still not going to kill them though.
Yeah, Skull Storm.
Oh no, you are actually. You are.
So yeah, Skullstorm is also, it becomes really bad, really good the more times you cast your commander. And like, just again, three times, it's already good. So casting your commander just two times, makes a lot of these a lot better, because you don't need any kind of setup, especially Fury Storm. If you can copy a really good instant or sorcery three additional times,
mm-hmm.
that's game end.
Of course, it's quite a late game investment.
I mean, yeah, when you cast your Lava Axe and then copy it five times.
Oh god.
Yeah.
We just need to have 9 mana available and, you know.
And a commander that was cast that many times.
Oof, that's a tall order.
I know, but it's possible. I'm just saying that these Storm cards are better than we think they are. Better than we thought they are.
I don't think they're unplayable garbage. You just need to have a real specific deck for that. That's my concern.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that helps you is Myth Unbound.
Yep. So yeah, Myth Unbound is actually a useful card.
That's a really good card. It halves your command tax.
Mm-hmm.
Plus it enables you to combo off with Prosh yet again. Because we all know that Prosh needed more help.
Of course.
Varchild is just cool. Don't know how good it is.
Astrid's Invocation is actually also kind of neat, because it's another copy of copy enchantment.
Yep.
And you can bounce it to your hand, so a lot of utility out of this one.
Oh, I think we didn't say anything bad about this card. This is really useful in enchantment decks.
Mm-hmm. And I have to again mention Loyal Subordinate, because I mean, it makes people lose 3 life, and losing 3 life means I draw a card.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
And also Menace with 3 power, again, it's going to go through.
Put a sword on him or something like that, and go haywire.
I'll go ham.
Treasure Neighbor, we said that it's okay card.
Yeah, I saw it in action actually.
How much did it actually screw with people?
Well, you know, when you have a couple of mana rocks and your opponent could really use them, you don't tap them.
Yeah, basically this is being a sphere of resistance sometimes.
So it's quite a decent card. It's like, it's one of those hate cards that's not so hating, and you can actually, it actually affects the board, you know, being a 3-2.
I might get it for Bloodpod or something like that, just to test it out a bit. And is that about it? Because the rest of the set is eh?
I mean, Turn Timber Sour says, what's up with this whenever one or more land?
Milling. Or MLD, I guess.
But you have to sacrifice creatures to return a land card from your graveyard to your hand.
Yeah. You know what this works with, kinda? If you have the Jarad, you sacrifice a swamp and a forest, and hey, you get it back.
Oh, wow. Okay. okay, whatever, I guess.
It's a fringe benefit.
So, yeah, that's concerning Commander 2018. So, not really that much exciting cards, but there is still potential, like in any other set.
I mean, Brudiklad impressed me once we started talking about him.
Varina is also a cool zombie tribal.
Mm-hmm. If you want to include the Diamond Cat ones.
Amazing.
Plus, hey, Pet to Exile and things and friends are here. Yeah. And you can still play the best of them all, Grimgrin.
Yep.
I love that guy so much.
I actually started really liking, what's it called? The Scarab God.
Scarab God is good in all formats, except maybe Vintage.
I still haven't played with any Scarab Gods, but people have been playing Scarab God against me. And besides the fact that I refuse to buy Vraska's Contempt, I really don't mind that card so much.
It's a cool card. Ander plays it as his zombie general. And
I mean,
it's
because
cool.
It's the best zombie general out there.
Kinda, yeah.
Kinda. It sure is.
He has a lot of value in it, so I do not mind that guy that much.
Yeah, I'll be definitely trying to pick up some Scarab Gods after rotation if they drop, which I hope they will.
I hope they do. Because it's a really cool design, and I want to play with it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, infinite value. Not infinite, but a lot of it.
Big value. Plus, it can kill people.
And killing people is fun. Yeah.
It's the thing I like to do, yeah. So that's it for C18.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to talk about, just randomly? I saw you try to farm things in Warframe today. You haven't played it in a while.
Yeah. I guess I'm kind of burned out. And I'm just, I got hyped from all those, gameplay presentations about, Venus and the...
And Railjack?
And the skateboards, the hoverboards, how they actually made tricks for them.
Yeah, so you can finally grind in Warframe.
Grinding to grind.
Yep.
And you can actually initiate combat from... You can fight while on them, but they have, like, combat opener.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just waiting for that to drop, but that won't be for another at least month and a half, because...
soon TM?
Yeah, because they're planning to launch a new Warframe, and since they just released a new Warframe, it's not going to...
Have you tried, actually, grinding the Reverend?
No, I just did the story mission.
We have tried it today, tried it for like an hour and a half. We got a bunch of Gara parts, but none of the Reverends.
Speaking of, I still need the Gara parts.
Friend Danny that you met, he has grinded for Gara a lot.
You really do have to grind for those a lot.
Holy crap.
But at least you don't have to scan some damn bushes.
Niksha, I have done it, I have her. Screw you.
I still hate that one.
I managed to do it.
I'd still rather grind for twice as much amount than to have to scan random plant life.
Honestly, it wasn't that bad.
I mean, the biggest problem was when I was... the last part, where I had to scan some moss, and you can't actually see the moss because it's the same color as the background.
I actually just used Helios, and that was it.
Only I thought about that.
And the trick is, you just need to be a bit above, because it's not gonna scan you if it's in the same height as you.
Oh.
Trust me, I have seen all the tricks. Still took me a while, but I like the frame status worth it.
But yeah, I'll be doing Venera quite a bit. We still have quite a lot of waiting to do for Railjack. And then after that, we proceed with the story, actually. Oh,
yes. And listeners, please, if anybody's playing Warframe or wants to play Warframe, just let us know.
Yeah, yeah. You might even be invited to our amazing dojo, our amazing clan.
I mean, I have moved from your clan to Danny's clan because that one is actually more active.
Bonus points if you get the reference.
I do not get the reference.
Well, that's why you don't have any bonus points.
There we go. That's why I actually moved from the clan. That's it.
Okay.
But yeah, if you guys want to play with us, please let us know. And if anybody starts to play Warframe and needs some help, we're here to help.
Yeah, I've brought a lot of people through the starting area to the secondary.
Mm-hmm. I was one of those people.
And you know, people didn't regret.
Speaking of, Tess has managed to do secondary all on her own.
Nice.
She was bored one afternoon and she was like, I might as well do it. And then she did it in an afternoon. And she tried to do the Arkwing for the War Within, the one that where I was pissing blood. She did it 10 times. She was like, no, you did it for me. So I did it. And now she's going to do the rest of the thing. But this was just like, no, I'm not doing this. But yeah, I think this was it for the episode, right?
Yep.
What episode is this, Niksha? 76?
It's either 76 or 77.
One of the two? Just give me a second. I might actually find out. It's been a while. And we're actually going to get more active right now because the vacations are finished and we're all much better.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, in fact, 77.
Hooray!
We are slowly grinding to that 100, but really slow. Also, we're going to get our good friend from Canada soon.
Mm.
We just need to work out the kinks.
Yeah.
He was supposed to come like a couple of weeks ago, but then vacations happened. So.
Yep.
But yeah, this has been episode 77 of the Elder Dragon Roll podcast. This is your host, Igor.
And this is Niksha.
And as always, the Emperor protects.
Indeed.